After first being reported in southern Africa last week, the Omicron variant of COVID-19 is now showing up in Europe, Australia, Hong Kong, Japan, and Canada. Researchers are trying to learn as much as possible about the new variant, with questions about how contagious it is, whether there's any difference in severity of infection, and whether vaccinations or past infections will offer less protection. In an effort to limit the virus's spread, some governments, including the U.S., have banned travelers from South Africa and nearby countries. Yesterday, President Biden says those restrictions won't stop Omicron from entering the U.S., but could help give us time to prepare.
This variant is a cause for concern, not a cause for panic. We have the best vaccine in the world, the best medicines, the best scientists, and we're learning more every single day. And we'll fight this variant with scientific and knowledgeable actions and speed, not chaos and confusion.
Dr. Bill Hartman is an assistant professor of anesthesiology at the UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health and medical director of the UW Health Pre-Op Clinic. He's also principal investigator of the pediatric and adult vaccine trials at UW Health. Dr. Hartman, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, a lot of open questions still about the Omicron variant. What, from your vantage, what are you watching for in particular?
Well, the main things that we're concerned about, number one, how contagious is this? Is it increased in infectivity compared to the other variants like Delta? Number two, what's the severity of disease that it will cause? Is it milder or is it worse than what we've seen with variants such as Delta? And then the last thing is, how do our current treatments and vaccines affect this Omicron variant, and are they going to be effective in treating it or in preventing people from getting sick from Omicron?
We'll spend a lot of our time digging into those questions and how we're going to figure out answers to them. Before we get there, though, Dr. Hartman, I wanted to ask, what is different about this variant in terms of its form? What makes it stand out from the other variants we know so far?
I think the alarming thing about Omicron is the number of mutations that are within the genetic code for this variant. About 30 or so of these mutations are in the spike protein itself, which is the area of focus for most of our treatments and for the vaccines. And so that comprises probably about 5% of that spike protein. And is that enough to affect the immune response generated by the vaccines or to be treated by the monoclonal antibodies? Those are very, very important things for us to figure out here. And that's what's most concerning, though, about this particular variant and why it's grabbed the attention of the world.
How and why do mutations of a virus, especially a coronavirus, happen?
Well, the coronavirus itself is very apt to mutations. It wants to survive. These viruses are like any other living thing, and they want to survive, and they want to figure out how they can survive in populations. And so over time, what you'll see is that these viruses figure out ways to increase their transmissibility or their contagiousness, if you will. But at the same time, they may produce milder disease because they don't want to kill off their hosts. They can only survive if they have living hosts. And so this could be something that we're beginning to see with this particular variant, where it would be very transmissible, able to infect a lot of people, but hopefully the result or the severity of the disease is less than what we've seen with variants such as Delta.
One thing that strikes me is this is an amazing tool we have now, that we've got countries around the world doing this genetic monitoring and able, as scientists and public health people in South Africa did, being able to throw the caution flag up for the rest of the world. Humankind has not had this tool up till, the last couple of years, really, right?
Right. And, you know, a lot of credit has to go to South Africa for getting this information out to the world. What they had seen was that at a particular university there was an outbreak of cases, and they assumed that this was going to be just another Delta outbreak, but they decided to go ahead and sequence this virus from a couple of these students, and they found that it had all of these mutations and that this wasn't Delta, that this was something else. And so they sequenced the entire genome to make it available to everybody throughout the world, and then let the world know that this virus mutation, that this variant is out there, and people needed to be aware of it.
Talking to Dr. Bill Hartman from the UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health, looking at what we know and don't know about the Omicron variant of COVID, of the virus that causes COVID-19. Dr. Hartman, looking at the big three questions now. Transmissibility, what are we watching for? What do we need to know if this does, in fact, spread faster than, say, the Delta variant?
Well, two of the mutations within that spike protein have been associated with other variants that have shown increase in transmissibility of the virus. And so we do suspect with both of these mutations present here, along with some others, that this virus will have the ability to greatly accelerate its transmission, even faster than Delta is what's expected. But some of the interesting things about the manifestations of this virus, though, are that the people that have caught this particular variant haven't lost their taste or smell like previous variants have caused. The disease seems to be somewhat milder. It's too early to tell if that's going to be the reality of it, but that's the trend that's been seen to this point. And so the fact that it's acting a little bit differently, and the fact that it's got these mutations that accelerate its transmissibility, these are things we really just need to keep an eye on and to get more information about.
So you talked about transmissibility, the severity we're still watching as it hits different populations. Now, how about what it means for the impact of vaccines people have already had, or people have already had cases of the earlier strains of coronavirus? What are we watching for there in terms of the protection against this variant?
Well, it's too early to tell exactly what effect these mutations will have on the immune response generated by our vaccines. It's important to remember that about 95% of this spike protein is remaining the same, similar to what was seen in the original Wuhan version of COVID-19. And so I do suspect that our vaccines are going to still be very effective in preventing severe disease, hospitalizations, and death overall, but are they going to be as effective at preventing COVID-19 infection as they have been? And that's difficult to say right now, but I do anticipate that there is going to be reduced effectiveness overall.
I want to talk about what, if anything, this all means for our behavior, choices we make. First of all, when it comes to getting vaccinated, for people with no vaccines, first of all, can you start with what you are recommending for them?
Well, the best way we have to fight COVID-19 is to become vaccinated. And so if you haven't had your initial series of vaccines yet, absolutely get that vaccine. We're still fighting the Delta variant here in the United States, and 99% of our cases here in Wisconsin are with this Delta variant. The Delta variant itself is very effective in terms of getting out to people who don't have immunity. And so the immunity generated by vaccines is very protective, especially against the worst things that can happen from COVID-19. And so absolutely get that vaccine if you haven't had it yet. The The other thing that we should remember is that boosters are now available for everyone over the age of 18. And so if you're more than 6 months out from your mRNA vaccine, Pfizer or Moderna, or more than 2 months out from the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, then you're eligible to get a booster. The boosters are restoring the effectiveness of these vaccines back up into that 95-96 percentile. And so they're very effective and very important way of limiting the number of cases of COVID-19 that we're going to see in our state and in our country.
In just our last few moments, Dr. Hartman, what are you watching for next, especially here in Wisconsin?
Well, the number one thing that we want, especially as the weather gets colder and as people are doing more activities inside, is to get that vaccine. Because last year around this time is when cases really began to spike. And we don't want to see that again. The hospitals are already full. We have lots of COVID patients within every hospital in this state. And people, medical providers are tired. Several people have already left this field altogether as a consequence of COVID. And so we have fewer rooms available and fewer people to take care of people who contract COVID. And so anything we can do to prevent infections, which number one, means getting that vaccine. Number two, getting that booster. That's very, very important, especially at this time of year.
Dr. Hartman, thanks for joining us again today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
That's Dr. Bill Hartman, assistant professor of anesthesiology at the UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health and medical director of the UW Health Pre-op Clinic, also principal investigator of the pediatric and adult vaccine trials at UW Health. We talked to him today about the Omicron variant of coronavirus.